All right, man, you have some tats. It looks like we're going to get ready to go. Are you ready for that intro?
Let's make it happen, Captain.
All right, welcome to the Fandemic Presents, Prevenge of the Nerds. We are your one-stop podcast. Every week we are going to give you all the things. To level up your awesome, you can also order my kids' book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on Amazon for $7.99, or contact me for an autographed copy for just a little bit more.
Number one. Shameless plug. Number two, I got my copy in the other room.
Aha! Nice. So, earlier today, I was thinking I am actually going to turn that book into a coloring book as well. Nice. So I'm going to do a Leveling Up Your Awesome coloring book as well. So I just popped in my head like a couple hours ago. So I'm like, all right.
Dude, you remember Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yes.
I don't know why, but I'm thinking Leveling Up Your Awesome. I'm sure these are well copywritten, but think about can you slide in some Choose Your Own Adventure or some Mad Libs? I think that would just be great, you know. So you can Mad Lib your own awesome. Yes, definitely though, make it a coloring book.
Oh, dude, I love that. We will definitely. I'm gonna definitely write that down. All right. So for starters, we will give you our war report. That's right. The What's Awesome Report for the week with all the who's it's and what's it's. If it's awesome, we got to talk about it. Once you find out what's awesome, then we're going to into our prevenge part of the show and tell you the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. It might be a list. It might be a pitch. One thing is for sure. Your awesome will be leveled due to this. To close the show, I lost it. To close the show, we are going to play Pitch, Fix, or Ditch. We'll look at some property, and we'll pitch something to do with it, fix what needs to be fixed, and then make it worse. Yes, we'll patent pending. Although, today I got a little bit something different in mind for that part of the show. I'll leave that as a surprise to you, sir.
Because that prevented the nerds. We are truthfully like dating on Craigslist. You never know what you're going to get. At Prevented the Nerds, we're like ordering your podcast on Wish.
Yes, it's growth through stupidity.
I thought that was politics, for sure. We'll do that, too.
Same thing. Yeah. Well, actually, no, we're not the same thing as politics. Anyway, I just like growth.
We're occasionally qualified for what we do. Boom, right. Boom. All right, yeah.
I like it. I am the self-proclaimed emperor of awesome, Bradley Butin, and this is my co-host, the unverified twin of Shamar Moore, at least in the nipples. Brian, you say your name.
This is Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for Mount Doom.
I wonder where we're going to go with that. Welcome to the Fandemic, streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. So don't forget to like, share, hit all the buttons that remind you on those platforms. Don't forget to tell all your nerdy friends as well and level up their awesome. Just like if you buy my book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on Amazon, or contact me for an autographed copy.
Second shameless plug, and even if you have friends that are not nerdy, invite them in, because guess what? Just like the Church of Latter-day Saints, we convert people.
That is good. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I don't know if we'll love it if people start knocking our doors this on Saturday morning. We'll do what we can do. Yeah.
But first, Brian, have you ever realized that you buy garbage bags just to throw them away?
Nice. Have you ever realized that a pizza is a circle cut into triangles and put in a square box?
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, it's one of the mysteries of the world, I think. You know, the the Great Pyramid and Giza and all that, and then why do they cut pizzas that way?
One moment here. I just want to, as we're catching up our audience here, you compare the pyramids of Giza to Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
We need to have a scroll, so, because I feel like once a podcast, I feel the need to say this. The opinions of Bradley Buten are his and his alone, and are not shared by his podcast tag team partner, nor the overarching meaning of the Revenge of the Nerds universe. We need a scroll by next week, sir. We need a scroll by next week.
Are his alone and not of this podcast.
Yes. And I get the feeling you need an opposite one, because while I'm enjoying my adult beverage, by the time we get about 20 minutes into this thing, they'll usually be the other way around. So no worries there.
I got banner happy earlier, so I don't know. All right, man. Well, I know you got a little bit of honest advertising. Let's do that now.
All right. So we're going to start off with an honest ad. So here is my honest ad for microwave popcorn. Do you ever want a snack and need it less healthy? Are you tired of eating food with at least some nutritional value?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, how can I make good food way worse?
Yeah.
Taking a hint from the old school CSI show? Well, Brad, the answer, my friends, is microwave popcorn. Mm. Instead of spending 7 minutes at the stove or 5 minutes with the air popper, save a whopping 90 seconds and microwave your popcorn, because nothing tastes better than cardboard dripping in vegetable oil. Or as we say, a Prevent of the Nerds, that's adequate.
I just got done watching CSI Vegas. Like, right before I came down to log in.
If you'd have just had sunglasses, it would have been a great cue. By the way, right? I feel our audience already knows this. We don't plan much of, hence you see the product. We don't plan much of this. It's very much seen with your pants. And if you could have just whipped them off at that moment, that would have been great. Yes.
Right? Actually, did you know that our 1 year is next Saturday?
I did know that.
Yes, October 8th.
It popped across something that I was doing on my phone. I go, wow, it's coming up. So, yes.
Yeah, yeah, we have been doing this for a year.
Is coming up, yes.
Yeah, and that's when we released. So we did three episodes, three or four episodes before we released them.
Right.
Yeah. So
and still no ring on it. I'm just saying out the Bradley. No, I'm not sure what the right hand is, the correct hand for this. But so then I feel like Beyonce. You still didn't put a ring on it.
Yeah, you know.
Which for the first time, then, if I'm Beyonce, that makes you Jay-Z.
I can see it. Every time I look in the mirror, I can definitely see it. It's the beard.
Remember the scroll we referenced about 3 minutes ago? This will be the second time that will come across.
I think we're going to. There we go. The opinion.
There we go. All right, sir. What do we got going on this week?
All right, well, let's get into our war report, and then we will talk about the couples. And I this week stumped me, so I really don't have much on that one. But I did overdue on the other part.
I ran with it hard,
so I'm sure yours will spark my brain some. But I think really the most awesome thing was what spurred our topic is
absolutely
is Wolverine Hugh Jackman
is
back for Deadpool 3.
Or I believe it says I love Hugh. Yes.
Oh buddy. We will get into that soon, but
absolutely. So before we get into that, because we will talk about him in a few minutes, I'm sure. Again, we do not, hence we ask for Patreon sponsors. We're not paid for anything that we do, because again, you see the product. But if you're looking just for some great social media that would just make you laugh, and a celebrity who is authentically funny, follow Ryan Reynolds podcast. I mean, follow Ryan Reynolds TikTok page. It is fantastic, and so much content gets released related to his products, for his upcoming projects, that, you know, is fantastic. So absolutely. Yeah.
Oh man, I am such a huge fan of Ryan Reynolds. I've liked him since Waiting. So, but
Van Wilder for your boy, but you know,
was Waiting first? Did Waiting?
I think Waiting was. I thought Waiting was after Van Wilder. But I could be wrong.
Okay, yeah,
that's why we have the Google device. But continue, right. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Waiting too. So I mean, like, I just thought that I thought Van Wilder was after Waiting, but yeah, obviously, whatever happened to National Lampoon's? I don't know. I did hear they're remaking American Pie.
I was going to say, I think what happened to National Lampoon was it made Van Wilder the Wrath of Taj or something. And, you know,
because
at that moment, don't get me wrong, Taj, similar to Jar Jar Binks, the less said about, the better. By the way, if we ever going to pitch or when we get to, you know, ditching anything, I think our go-tos, if we ever run out of ideas, is either adding in Jar Jar or Taj. And I think about, or Will Wheaton. Well, not Will Wheaton. Will is kind of a nice guy, but Wesley Crusher. If you throw any of those three in there, I think we can pretty much destroy any property that's out there.
That will come in handy later on, so you just keep that in mind. So, Brian, what was streaming that you hit up this last week?
Well, my personal favorites. There we go. Sorry, I had a momentary computer glitch there.
Oh, that's all right. All right.
My personal favorites this week, it was a shorter list because I'm going to leave off something that I did watch, but you asked for what I thought was awesome. So I'm going to focus on the first one, which number one, I'm going to start off with Rings of Power, which is a whole deal of my S stands for. So yeah. Rings of Power, and I will say this was without a doubt my favorite episode of Rings of Power.
Okay.
Because it really felt... like Lord of the Rings. And this is really what we see with Lord of the Rings and with The Hobbit even, that you see all these interrelated stories and people on journeys and tasks and voyages and not riding eagles would have been much faster. And small men fighting other small men over an accessory because that's what you do. But at this point, what you got was similar to, you know, the Return of the King, similar to the Battle of the Five Armies. You started to get where a lot of the pieces came together, where we have the fight between the humans and at least what they thought were the orcs. And like any great, again, Brad and I are two great professional wrestling fans. Like any great wrestling angle, they swerved you. Right when you think it's over, when you think the victory is done, when you realize that when you feel like, you know, you've got Vader on the ropes, he tells you, I'm your real daddy, and here's the DNA test. And by the way, I watched Empire the other day. Mark Hamill, God love you. The acting in that moment for him was so bad.
Well, it is
so bad.
And then there's the phantom kick in Return of the Jedi. I mean Mark Hamill, I mean, like, we love you. I mean, absolutely. But I'm with you, man. I'm with you, buddy.
All right. So anyway, back to Rings of Power. Again, spoiler alerts, but what we got was we had a big battle. This is the first week that I said that I would say that what I've watched, Rings of Power was number one. It's usually a little lower on my list. It seemed like everything was done. The battles won. People are feeling good about themselves. And then slowly but surely, every layer of the onion is pulled back. And what you really thought was a victory, you realize is truthfully a defeat. And we get the birth of why they have not named it, from everything you can see, the birth of a central point in The Hobbit, a central point in Lord of the Rings, a central point in everything that Tolkien creates from this point forward, Mount Doom.
Yes, and who do you think is Sauron?
They've had it in so many different phases. I don't think Sauron's been introduced yet. I don't think Sauron is any character that we've seen. You know, they talked a little bit about Uruk. okay. The first of the count of the elf men that were, you know, basically traumatized. But I don't think we've seen Sauron yet in it, but I'm thinking next week we'll get a physical personification of Sauron.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So I know we got to talk She-Hulk. Both of us really enjoy She-Hulk.
Yes.
And honestly, this last episode was no different. I enjoy it. I don't know what I don't see what all the hate is for it. I think it's a fine show. It's funny. I laugh. It doesn't take itself too serious.
Right.
So, you know, I like it.
I'm actually starting to dig the shorter episodes as well, because I think for what it is, I mean, I think if they tried to make it the length of things like Captain America and the Winter Soldier or Hawkeye, I think that would be harder to do with it. I mean, it's meant to be a sitcom. Again, for those of us that are, you know, old enough to really remember the best sitcoms of the 80s and 90s, this is kind of what it was. I mean, especially if you like those shows like The Office, like Scrubs, again, the 80s lawyer shows like L.A. Law. I mean, it's kind of honestly a smarter version of those. And if you've seen the actress's previous things and like Girls, I mean, this really fits her previous work. So I we talked about last week, the previous episode was probably the worst, but again, they told you. You can't say they're not honest. Yeah. They told you it was going to be the worst episode of the season. And, you know, if someone tells you it's bad, it's bad. And you can't be mad about that. But this one, with everything, and of course, again, we had a return of a great character from the earlier part of the season. Mm-hmm. And just the dynamic between those two is fantastic.
Right. And I will say this. There's two episodes left. Mm-hmm. So we're getting Daredevil. Hopefully next episode. Hopefully this week we're getting Daredevil. I think he's got to be in the last two. I'm pretty sure, or at least the last. Well, I mean, obviously he's gonna be in the last one. But yeah, man, I tell you what, I like She-Hulk more than I like Andor.
Yeah,
I mean, the sad thing
and the weird thing is, if you look online, Andor is getting better reviews.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was a lot better, but. Like those first two episodes of Andor tainted me. And I mean, I was not in a hurry to watch it. It was good. I was a ton of Easter eggs and everything in there, but it's fine. Andor is fine. And like, it's getting better, but like, I still, at this point,
the first two are rough.
Man, the series as a whole so far, I am at like a 3.
Yeah. Last thing before we move off of She-Hulk, which is this, and again, I hope for people who may be thinking about the show, maybe not in a cup of tea, the way that the episode ended, because I think people want more action. You know, we've not seen She-Hulk have like an Avenger-style fight, even the wedding episode where you saw her fight Titania.
Yeah.
We've not seen She-Hulk have to really exert herself as She-Hulk. You know, we've seen her use her She-Hulk form for dates. We've seen her do a She-Hulk form. That was required by her job, literally.
Yeah.
So we've only had seen her have a couple actual battles. Her fight with the Wrecking Crew was nothing. So we had a fight. We had a really brief fight with Titania in the first episode, and now we had a longer, but still not as much in the, what would have been the sixth episode. So now what we're looking to is that, by the way, this is a great indictment of online dating. We're going to see, if not fully in the last couple episodes, but definitely a bridge to season two, probably a more serious, more action-based presentation of She-Hulk, which I think is what fans want, okay? But there is such a thing as build, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, man, It's great. I like it. I'll probably rewatch it. I actually kind of dig that they don't go all in on the action right now. We get one good scene at the end of season one, and maybe it's Daredevil she's gonna learn from. She's gonna learn something from, and you know, that's cool. Let's set up a Defenders. Let's set up better Defenders or something like that. So
right, absolutely. And again, last thing on this before we move forward is think about it. What makes her unique? Of pretty much every presentation we've shown either in the movies or in the streaming shows is she's someone that does not want to be a superhero. Okay. Yeah. She you annoying. Know, yeah, you know, it's not like, okay, when Peter Parker gets bit by the spider or Miss Marvel, you know, finds the bangle, mm-hmm. or the Fantastic Four get exposed to the cosmic rays or all the things that we have. They want these powers. They want these abilities. They want to do all these things. You know, even with Banner Hulk, he eventually embraces it enough to know that, you know, the world won't let me just be Bruce, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't want these powers. She has a life that she doesn't have to use these powers. So she goes, I'm a freaking lawyer. Why on earth would I, you know, rip up my clothing to go fight someone when I can just, you know, use my education, my training, my skills and do it that way? So this is probably in some ways the most realistic Disney Plus show they've done.
I'll close on that. Absolutely. Any other shows that you want to bring up?
Two movies, actually.
Okay.
All right. So one of these, and this is not brand new, but it's brand new to me watching it, which is a really good movie. Netflix, I'm sorry, not Netflix, HBO has suggested a couple times. Is that called, it is Netflix. I was thinking that it was HBO, it's Netflix. Mm-hmm. The movie Lou, L-O-U. Mm-hmm. Which
I keep seeing that.
So if you've not watched, stars Allison Janin as Lou, has Josie Smollett, and basically it is a really, if you like the old school Liam Neeson movies like The Gray and Taken and all those things, you will like Lou.
Okay.
You are totally like Lou. That's all I get into it, but has a very similar theme. It's got a couple little twists and turns, really, really good, and you never see Allison Janney in a role like this.
Okay.
Very cool. And I'm telling you, this is like the first 10 minutes have you hooked.
Nice.
First 10 minutes, you're like, okay, this is it. And then, of course, if no one's already talking about it, Hocus Pocus 2, come on. All right.
I have not watched it yet.
Have you not watched
it? No, okay. I have been so busy lately. But...
Yep. Have the kids watched it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any reviews from the kids?
Yes. Anna really liked it. She wanted to watch it, but I took her to the 10 o'clock showing of Avatar.
Oh, okay.
While we still have it in the theater, so I could take it to her in 3D. Mm-hmm. That was one I definitely wanted her to check out in 3D. But then she watched it Saturday morning when I went into work.
Sure.
And then Leia said it was really good as well.
Yep.
Haley hasn't watched it yet. But I'm guessing it'll be watched within the next week.
Okay.
That and Munsters. I need to finish Munsters. I never finished it.
Yeah, I got Munsters. We will definitely unpack Munsters maybe next week.
Okay.
But Hocus Pocus again from the adult lens. You know, it came out 30-ish years ago, so I would have been in my teen years, mm-hmm. which just shows you how old I am. but it's done really well. They take a different slant. Mm-hmm. On it a bit. Definitely, it's definitely Hocus Pocus. It definitely mm-hmm. harkens back to the first movie. But this really spends a lot of time, and this is my only review of it is it spends a lot of time talking about the Sanderson sisters and their relationship as sisters. And they really do a good job of that, and it makes you have an actually broader view of the three witches. I think they did a very good job. All the people they bring back from the first movie, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't lose any stride there. They have some new folks, obviously, with it being 29 years, I think, since the first one. Mm-hmm. It's done really, really well. So definitely check it out when you get a chance, man.
Oh, we'll do. I know Quantum Leap, the second episode of the new Quantum Leap came out.
Yes.
It's good. Good show. Like, watch it. It's fun.
Yep. It continues to develop. It didn't make my list because I just honestly forgot to put it on there.
Yeah.
But again, it does definitely continue to grow. It you know, and two episodes in, it's one of the things I continue to watch. So that by itself is, I think, a good review.
Yep. And then other than that, I've been watching the season 11 of The Walking Dead. I know because the last part starts tonight. And then also Interview with a Vampire. The show
tonight,
drops tonight as well.
Yeah,
so
we're streaming on October 2nd. So does that give you a frame of reference? Yes.
Yep. And so more to come on Interview the Vampire. I think I'm going to try to watch that with Kaylee once we're done recording and Leia's in bed. So that's kind of, it's October. So October, I usually go back into the kind of Walking Dead type thing with zombies and whatnot. So other than that, movies, Avatar, like I said, other than that, not much. I know I got a big thing at the theater going on for Lyle Crocodile coming up this next Friday. I got a coloring contest that I'm doing. So if you're in the Des Moines, Ankeny area, get at me. And I make sure you get those coloring sheets, bring them in to me, and you might win a free ticket to Lyle if you're 12 or under. And then I got some prizes going on. I even got a crocodile suit that chances are I will probably be in.
Nice.
Not singing. I can't sing. Not going to happen. It's probably going to happen. But anyway.
I was going to say, by the way, the first time my friend Bradley says he's not going to do something, give him 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Especially if it involves any type of self-humiliation. Give him 5 minutes, folks.
Yep, that's fair. That's about true.
Because at Revenge of the Nerds, we believe there's no such thing as bad attention.
Growth through stupidity. And then
that should be our TED talk, man. Growth through stupid. That's the title, by the way, of this week's show. But totally, that should be our TED talk. Growth through stupidity. Tony Robbins, we're coming for you, man.
Yes,
we're coming for you.
I got 80s music bingo coming up on Tuesday, and then I got a bunch of comics. I got a bunch of I'm getting caught up on Darth Vader, Star Wars, Nightwing, Wolverine. So other than that, leveling up my awesome book. I'm going to release it as a coloring book. I just came up. I don't know why I haven't been doing that yet, but also my new book should be out. I'm hoping here in the next few weeks. Depends on how long it's going to take to get illustrated. So hopefully all more to come on that later. Also, I'm bringing back the Fandemic. There's going to be a little twist on it. More to come on that as well. I'm in the process of lining up some people off of that run some podcasts out there in the world. And we're just going to kind of go from there.
Brian. So just to catch up on the tote board here, we have three shameless plugs for Level Up My Awesome, and the first shameless plug for the new book. By the way, do you have a title for the new book?
Yes, my new book is going to be the now I just forgot it. Where are they?
Interesting title,
right? Stuffed Animal Night Force is what it is. It's
you
about
say Night Force, like not day, night. Stuffed Animal Night Force.
Yes, but it's K-N-I-T-H-T, Night Force.
Got you.
And it's all about the stuffed animals coming alive in your dreams to ward those, to fight those bad dreams. So,
because here at Prevendor the Nerds, we are not your mother's toy story.
Gross.
I think I did see a movie once that was about your mom's toy. Never mind. So, with that being said.
My mom wasn't in it, was she? Mom?
There's some things that our friendship is not yet secure enough for.
Gotcha. All right. Oh, buddy. Well, let's get into our main topic.
Yes, sir.
Let's go ahead. Let's talk it out, buddy. Let's talk it out.
All right. So you know me. So again, when we close the show, Brad and I always talk about how you can find us on social media. Mm-hmm. Bradley has a much pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. Bradley has a much more robust our social media profile. He'll tell you about all the things he's on. I pretty much do most of mine on Facebook. And the reason that you should, you know, befriend both of us is oftentimes you get a behind the BTS, right? Yeah. Some behind the scenes of the show. And Bradley and I were discussing again, which we actually didn't talk much about, the trailer for Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
And in our discussion of the trailer for Deadpool 3, we thought about, let's talk about odd couples. Like, what do we view as some of the best, worst, or however we're going to interpret the idea of odd couples? So I'll definitely take the lead if you want to, buddy. But I came up with some discussions of, and I love my honorable mentions and my top fives. But these are, I think, some of the biggest odd couples for a variety of reasons in comics, movies, and just all the stuff that make it the Friend of the Nerds universe. So I've got my honorable mentions, and I got my top five, and they're definitely Star Wars had a couple, or maybe even more than one, that made the top five. So when you're ready, tag team partner, I would jump into what at least I think are some of the most interesting odd couples that we've seen in the products that we enjoy.
Yes, and let's go into, before we end the show, we'll talk about this, about the Deadpool.
Absolutely. All right, perfect. So I'll just give you a couple of my honorable mentions, and again, I will go through these fairly quickly, but I do have some comments on why I picked them. So number one of the honorable mentions, my first I'm going to mention is from the world of Transformers. And depending on which version, either Spike from the cartoons or Sam, a.k.a. Shia LaBeouf, and Bumblebee. I personally have a hard time being best friends with someone that sits inside me on a regular basis. If you've changed my oil, we need to establish some really firm boundaries. Mm-hmm. Also, though, I will say, especially in the first two Transformers, the biggest odd couple from those movies actually was not Sam and Bumblebee. It was Shia LaBeouf and Megan, because nowhere in that world is Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf ever going to be a thing.
I mean, he's no Machine Gun Kelly.
I mean, she went from Brian Austin Green to Machine Gun Kelly. So, you know, right. Basically at this point, if you shower regularly, you know, though, if you've seen Shia LaBeouf recently, he actually might have a shot.
Yeah.
And Brad, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's worth Googling after this. I forget the name of the movie, but he did a movie where the character has like a full chest tattoo.
Yeah.
And he got the real tat. It's ugly. I mean, I love tats.
Right.
My buddy is tatted up, but it's just not good artwork. And I think that's the point for the character. The fact you would do that to yourself is, yeah.
Oh man, yes. He's a method actor. I could care less about him.
He also is a very good freestyler, though, and I don't mean that tongue in cheek. Actually, I think it's the Breakfast Club, which is a New York-based radio show that has Sway, who used to be a VJ on MTV. He and Shia were in the same place at the same time at some point, and he actually heard Shia freestyle. And he invited, and I'm serious, you can YouTube this. He invited him on the show, and the co-hosts were like, yeah, right, this is Shia LaBeouf. And they actually challenged him to freestyle, and they gave him some topics, and legitimately, he can actually rap. He legitimately has to, and apparently he is like really deep into the hip-hop scene. Like he listens to, you know, a very authentic, hardcore, old-school rap. And you know, he doesn't lead with it because he'd be trolled like crazy, but it's something that he enjoys and he does. And I was just very impressed. So his acting chops, there are a couple of things that he's actually really good in. But you know what? If you ever want to see like a celebrity that can apparently rap, check out some YouTube with Shia LaBeouf. All right.
Have you seen the Peanut Butter
Love
Falcon?
Love it. I was hoping you would mention that. Absolutely.
Wow. That movie is fantastic. That's probably the best thing that I've ever seen him in.
Yes, he is absolutely good. It made me almost forgive him what he did to Indiana Jones.
Right? I guess almost. He's the other actor in there, one of the disability.
Sure.
I guess he's really good friends now.
Very cool.
Yeah, like very cool. They're really tight.
Very, very cool. It's really one of a really good movie. So next up we've got Hancock and Ray Embry. And if you're not sure who Ray Embry is, it's the character played by Jason Bateman.
Yes.
This is, number one, in the movie, it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
You know, Hancock comes out of the sky, the train's coming, and he stops the train and all this fun stuff and all the things that happen. And, of course, a little awkwardness. My current wife was your ex-wife. Yeah. And they didn't play this for the movie, but think about it. If you find out that your current wife's ex is an immortal god with unimaginable powers who also happened to look like Will Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enough said. Okay.
Right, right. And we did a whole episode where we each pitched a sequel to Hancock.
Yes. Yes.
And that is one of my favorite episodes.
Yes, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Absolutely. Okay, this is a throwback one. Mm-hmm. So if I said these two people, Bradley, who does this remind you of? Jonathan Swisher and Emmy. Any reference? Jonathan Swisher and Emmy.
No.
Have you ever seen the movie Mannequin?
Yes. Yes, I have. Kim Cantrell.
Yes. So for those of you who are younger than Bradley and I or have better things to do, here's the basic premise of the movie Mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guy who at night spends time dressing up a mannequin in lingerie and posing her. And it's a family comedy.
And he falls in love with the mannequin. And they made a sequel.
The 80s, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 80s. Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes. Okay. The best thing about that would be it made James Spader's filmography. All right. Okay. To keep the creepy train going.
Yes.
Next up. I cannot stand these movies. I would never read the books, but I got to go Edward Cullen and Bella Swan.
Yeah.
So for all of you who love the Twilight movies, I will in the books, I will tell you this. Read, I should say watch The Lost Boys.
Okay.
Watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Watch Angel. Much better product. You know what? Watch Hotel Transylvania, and you will find better stories involving vampires. But if you really are so romanticized that Edward and Bella was such a wonderful love story, I did a quick little bit of math for you. So the books were released in 2005. Edward Cullen was born in 1901. He became a vampire in 1918. So while he may be frozen in a 17-year-old's body, he was 87 years old when he started dating Bella Swan. And yes, he waits until she's 18 to consummate their marriage. But for those of you out in the world, in any place, if an 87-year-old person starts dating a 17-year-old, we have one word for that. Creepy.
And he had several medical degrees.
Yes.
And didn't help her out when she needed it.
Yeah. So this sounds like a true crime episode regarding grooming and all that sort of stuff. So there's your Twilight. Because you know what? Vampire movies. Coded language for human trafficking. There you go.
You think Kirk and Spock, or are they an odd couple?
You know what? They were right there. They were right there. I thought about doing Kirk and Spock. I do have another Star Trek. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and bear the lead.
Okay.
Is my number one is a Star Trek odd couple. It is, though, not Kirk and Spock. All right.
Okay.
Last one of my honorables, and I'll pause and get your thoughts on anything.
Okay.
Which, again, is, again, I got to destroy some stuff because it prevented the nerds. What we can't create, we do destroy.
Yeah.
All right. We're like Thanos without the glove, the superpowers, the hot daughters, the purple skin, and the weird chin testicle. Anyway, all right. What is that supposed to be? Like that's actually how he's drawn as well. Hey, here's what we'll make it really imposing. We'll give him chin foreskin. That'll scare people. Yeah.
I guess that's his godliness. I mean, you know, please, a whole phrase of
did
blue
he,
balls
did he and... leave his chin like in the tub too long? Like I've always understood. I don't get that. Okay, all right. Okay, back on point. That's why we need that other scroll. I told you about 20 minutes into this, right? And by our clock, we're at 39 and 12 seconds. All right. So the last one I want to mention, we'll take a pause, which is Harry and Hermione from Harry Potter. For no other reason than the reason that this makes my odd couple is if you think, I'm sorry, not Harry and Hermione, Harry and Jenny. I was going to go with Harry and Hermione as my resolution. That if you think that Harry and Jenny makes sense, you've never dated. because this falls apart on several levels. We're just going to start with my two favorite words, bro code.
Yeah.
Nowhere. And this is not even an unwritten rule. Trust me, someone's got a tattoo of this. I guarantee it.
Oh,
of the things you do not do, and thou shalt not hook up with thy best friend's sister.
Yep.
Okay? That's written in stone and in everything else, okay? I get the feeling there's been lots of bar nights that were two guys hanging out that after a couple shots, hey, I just want to let you know, and then things go backwards from there, okay?
Yeah.
So let's just take a quick look at Harry Potter, and I think maybe a future episode we do, Brad, is like our top a-holes out here.
I like that.
Harry's going to make my list. Here's why. Number one, Harry Potter is wealthy. Let's start there. He's very, very wealthy. And by the time he comes to Hogwarts, everyone knows he's the chosen one. While he may not know he's famous, everybody else does.
I mean, they forget that for the rest of the movie.
Yes. So they forget he's wealthy because he's got secondhand brooms and Sirius has to send him one. I'm like, wasn't he rich? Didn't he buy the entire treat cart on the train?
Yeah.
Like the first day, the first year at Hogwarts, like did he have like, I don't know, was there a Ponzi scheme? Like what happened?
Yeah.
You know,
Bruce, I guess you need an Elfred. You gotta have an Elfred.
I mean, how much butter beer could this kid buy? Like what happened? Okay, I wish I was Harry's. That's another one. The jobs that should exist. Harry Potter needs a financial analyst. Okay.
Yeah.
So with all this, all right, think about it again. This is based on the movies, folks. So if you say, is it happening this way in the books? Fight me later.
Yeah.
In the movies, we see him with his best friends, Ron and Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, his and Ron's little sister has the Google eyes again for the chosen one. You're supposed to believe that this chosen one kid, who they show in the movies at certain points, really not having to struggle with girls kind of being into him. Because he's the chosen one. Yeah. And by the third movie, where he's in his early teens, you know, get close to that really pubescent jerk phase that every guy goes through, he's like, well, I am the chosen one, right? Yeah, of course they are. Okay? Remember, they send him love potions and all this sort of stuff? Basically, what happens is he steals not only his best friend's girl. Well, we'll go back for sort of. He steals a girl from one of his friends, and poor Neville. Poor Neville, right? The guy's parents are killed, okay? And no, it wasn't like the heroic death like Harry Potter's. They weren't killed. They were sent to the insane asylum due to the Cruciatus curse, right? So they didn't get in the great martyr, you know, death that Harry's parents were given. They're off in an insane asylum, okay? Number two, Neville is poor. He's legit broke. The poor kid walks funny. He's got the buck teeth. You know, no one is stumping for your boy Neville. He finally meets a girl who is into him, who is okay for him to date. They go out to the ball. He comes in late, tells Harry, hey, I just got in. Me and Jenny danced all night. And by the next damn movie, Jenny's like running through the cornfield trying to save Harry from the Death Eaters, you know, while her dad thinks it's perfectly okay for my little girl to be running through the woods with this kid that she likes, who, by the way, is staying rent-free in my house. Yeah, we're shutting that the hell down. Okay, Harry. Okay, we're gonna have a wizard wannabe conversation, and we're gonna do it in the real world where you can't use your wand, sir. Come on, sir. All right. So then, because you're too young, okay, I know the rules. I watch it play out. All right.
Right.
So from all of this, what happens next? It's the worst of the worst. He actually goes to the room of requirement and makes out with Ron, his best friend, his supposedly ride or die, the dude to play wizarding chess to save your narrow ass, Harry. Okay. This kid, you have the nerve to unmitigate it. Gall to make out with his sister and be like, oh, it's all good. The heart wants what the hearts want. You know what? I take my chance and ask a man, and I'm straight up hitting you with the killing curse. Okay? Yes, sir. At that point, I'm a Death Eater. I'm going to get in the mouth for it. And like, I know where I know he sleeps. I'm going to get a passport to Gryffindor. We're going to make it happen. I'm getting a little snake tattoo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with the Joe Dirt guy from Tiger King. I'm doing all the things. I'm dyeing my hair blonde. You know, all this. Not to mention green and black is a better look, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of slimming. I'll do all those things. So, yeah. So, that's why Harry and Jenny, forgive me, not Harry and Hermione, is this. And the last piece is from J.K. Rowling herself, who we know is manners. But she has actually said she thinks the way the plot comes out, probably one of the last sane things she ever put out, was the way the plot flows with the dynamics between Harry, Jenny, Hermione doesn't quite work because there's no way the three of them being young wizards should have survived the whole thing. And again, he obviously breaks multiple bro codes when it comes to this. So yeah, so real talk, if any dude out there that say, hey, I really have a thing for my best friend's sister, I think it's okay with it. He's not.
Your best friend.
He's not your best friend, and he ain't okay with it. So save yourself, you know, a beat down and hands off your best friend's little sister. And with that, we'll take a break. And that is, if I had a wand, that's my wand drop. There you go.
I dig it. And I mean, and Harry refers to Ron Weasley as his brother. I mean, like, pretty much.
Within, okay. By the transitive property of relationships, makes her your sister. Okay.
Yeah.
Which actually comes up in my next list of awkward.
Oh, I know where you're going there,
but I'll let you, sir, share anything and your thoughts on these.
Good so far. I don't got anything to add. I think you're gonna go Luke and Leia there next.
Oh, I'm gonna one up you there. Okay, so next up is Star Wars, and my odd couple is Leia and anybody but Han Solo.
There.
So let's look at the relationships in quotation marks that Leia has other than with Han Solo. And let's just go ahead and put it out there, because we saw it in Empire. Leia kisses her brother.
Yeah.
George Lucas, we know you've heard this before, but we would not be doing our due diligence of we doing this. Lucas has said on multiple cases and multiple interviews, he knew from the beginning that Luke and Leia were twins. Luke and Leia are siblings. So in the art where Leia kind of suggestively lays her head on the, let's say, the saber holster of Luke, you know, and specifically in Empire, where to, you know, basically mess with Han's ego, she straight up kisses Luke. He wrote and directed that scene. So that's also a little on the creepy side. Next up, you've got her and Jabba. Other than Jabba's wardrobe choice, let's be real with this. She's a slave, okay? She's a slave, and let's not get a twist, okay? We don't see, again, the BTS side of this, right? There's a significant amount of time that happened between Empire and Return of the Jedi. And we're supposed to believe that Jabba just had her in the brown bikini when she's chained up and it's kind of left her there. No, we all know that Jabba probably turned that slug body over, you know, found some Crisco, put on some Bob the Builder. And, okay, I'm sorry. But we, you know where this is probably headed, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and think, okay, we talked about how Hancock will ruin your day. Okay, if you just came out of the Carbonite and Leia shares that story with you, a little weird. Okay.
I mean, you're glad you got carbonite sickness there.
Yeah, yeah, okay. This will make you sick for real. Oh, you thought you had a rough few months. Here's what happened to me, okay? You know, she probably could never watch a Geico commercial in peace again. Okay, then you've got one that I don't think they ever talk about, which I think is completely there, especially once the events of episode 7 happen, is Leia and Chewie. Come on. Brad, you're the Star Wars aficionado. You can just see it.
So now I can. But
yes. Yes. Have
you ever had a Wookiee steak? It's Chewie.
Is that code for something?
I mean,
that's
kind of
what my list is alluding to.
I mean, right. Yeah. You know? So, she likes it. No, I can't.
Stop.
I can't.
Stop.
Just a second. I'm going back. Yeah. There we go.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
And then the last one, I've gone a little long with this because the more I started, like, oh, these are all the odd ones. Because here's the other one that I am pretty sure did happen, even though they didn't show it. Okay. So they don't show it having her and Jabba. So maybe we can go, okay, I don't even know how, you know, Hutts have kids. You know, they don't show about her and Chewie. So, you know, maybe unlike Harry Potter, he respected bro code and left Leia alone.
Mm-hmm.
This one happened. Lando. We understand that Lucas didn't put it in there, but we know this happened. Can you imagine, again, we get where Leia's been rescued from Jabba. She's, you know, they're looking for Han. The search is going slowly. Luke's off doing this thing. Chewie's respecting her boundaries. She's just feels lonely and vulnerable. And then you can hear on her chamber, you hear a little, she opens the door and the camera pans up and holding a fresh case of Colt 45 is our man, Lando Calrissian.
Yep.
Aw, look it now. I'm about to lay hands on you. That happened.
Actually, they allude to it in the comics.
Thank you.
So
the fact that Ben Solo is pale, I'm sure it was a real, she was really hoping. Like, okay, you know, Han, no matter what, I love you. Remember I saved you from the carbonite. Remember?
You know, if you look at Harrison Ford and you look at Billy Dee Williams and you put Adam Driver right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Huh.
By the way, at this point, Star Wars could have straight done this. We were on a break.
And you were in carbonite.
Come on. What are the rules?
Yeah.
What are the rules? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go quit the next couple just because I took so long on that one, but I figured you would enjoy the Star Wars. Okay. Deadpool and Cable. That's just a thing.
And one of the greatest ever.
Yeah. And it was done so well in Deadpool 2. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. For all the reasons that Luke and Leia is creepy, for all the reason that Cersei and Jaime Lannister is creepy, remember, this is a comic book that is sold to children, and it's about the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, or Wanda and Peter Maximoff. You know why they have the same last name? Because they got the same parents and their siblings.
Yeah. One to add to that, Superman and Supergirl.
Hmm.
Because that happened in the comics as well.
Yes. Yes.
And I mean, we are very, very vocal on our love for Superman. we always, you know, think of if it's a bird or it's a plane. Yeah, we're not fans of Superman. We don't really like him.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And you know what, Supergirl, if you're going to hook up with your cousin, you deserve him to be faster than a speeding bullet. There we go.
I'm going to claim the alley-oop on that one.
Yes, sir. You got the assist. All right. I would be remiss if we're going to throw Superman. That was, and again, we don't plan it. That was perfect segue, sir. If we're going to throw Superman, his relationship under the bus, you got to throw Batman. Basically, Batman with every Robin is a little on the creepy side. Okay.
Actually, I was going to go there too. I was going to say the odd couple is Batman and Bruce Wayne.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I was thinking Robin. So, but you know what? I mean, do you think that's the reason why Batman does not get along with Red Hood as much? Because Red Hood, Jason Todd, is a lot more like Batman than any of the other Robins.
Absolutely. That is the true son of the bat, if you think about it. More so, when you think about personality, more so than Damian. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you dislike what you see, right? You reflect on the hardest thing to look at.
Yeah.
That was nice, right? You know, that truthfully, by the way, that actually even, I'm just something we talked about earlier with Interview the Vampire, that is some of the historical stuff with vampire lore, why vampires don't have a reflection, is that they can't stand to see what they've become, so they actually can't cast a reflection. Hmm. So, but yeah. So absolutely. And just again, the whole trope of it. You know, yeah. You got this millionaire who, if we are giving him generous as far as years, probably in his late 20s, most likely.
Yeah.
In his early 30s, he adopts these orphans. He dresses them up in costumes. He definitely, if you just want to take the literal side of it, which is he puts them in mortal danger, including one of them dying. The fans killed him technically, but you know he died.
Yeah.
To no other reason, which was my mom's favorite joke. Wait a minute, let's get straight. He met a little kid, he dressed him up in a costume, and they slid him down the bat pole. And she goes, and this is your favorite. And I'm sitting there, Brad, with my bus going.
Yeah.
Which is why the costume that I never got for Halloween was Batman. I swear to God, I got Bat-Cat.
Bat-Cat.
But I didn't get Batman. Because my mom's thing was, oh, the Batman was sold out. Wait a minute. You're telling me that Walmart was out of Batman? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, sorry. Not all the texture is coming out. All right. So, my last one here. Thank you for playing along with me, Brad, and the audience. My last odd couple athlete does come from the world of Star Trek. Okay. So we've thrown shade at Harry Potter, at Twilight, at Transformers, at the MCU, at Batman and Robin specifically, at Superman a little bit. And now we get our obviously Star Wars, and I'll come back to Star Trek. If the oddest couple is not Kirk and Spock, who do you think I pulled out of this?
Spock and McCoy.
No. I'll give you one more hint. It's for the next generation.
Oh, okay. I will say Data is going to be one of them.
No, sir.
Data and Geordi?
No. Q and Picard.
Oh, okay. Well done.
For no other reason than this, we love the Picard show, mm-hmm. Universal, and we're both excited for season 3. Yep. And we hope season 3 gives Jean-Luc Picard the send-off he absolutely deserves. We've seen a send-off of Q. Here's why I say this is the greatest odd couple, at least in my perspective, because we see Star Trek talk around it, but don't talk at it. In Picard, we see multiple allusions to why he never got married and his love of the Enterprise, his love of exploration. Because he's always in space, it wouldn't be fair for his spouse and kids. He never had time. He didn't want to put them in danger. La, 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 la. The reality of it is Jean-Luc Picard had one love more than space travel. One more than exploration, one more than a Federation, and one more than the Starship Enterprise. And it is Q of the Q Continuum. It is so obvious. So since he could not be with his boo thing, and Bradley, the word boo will come up later, because he could not be with his boo thing, Jean-Luc Picard was unable to get married, which again is why, in my opinion, the greatest odd couple in nerddom is Q and Captain Picard.
Very good, man. I very good. I sat there and I started thinking, and the more and more I thought, I got to thinking about the pitch, fix, and ditch.
Yes, sir.
And we're just going to go right into it.
Please, sir.
I'm going to spoil the surprise. So I got to thinking like about pitching movies, TV series, or cartoons, or something like that. This is a trope, well, probably about a good 10, 15 years ago,
okay.
Off of song titles.
Okay.
So I got 10 song titles, and we're going to do some quick pitches.
Got you.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
All right. Number one, Stairway to Heaven. Classic. Okay. Led Zeppelin.
Sure.
Probably one of the greatest songs that's ever been written.
Sure. All right. So here's my pitch on what we do with Stairway to Heaven if we're going to turn it into a television show, which I think is what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. So we got Stairway to Heaven. You've got a person who fell perfectly in line between going to hell, going to heaven. So because they can't decide who owns his immortal soul, he's given a task. He is shown the 100 steps to get to heaven. For every life he saves, for every good deed that he does, he gets one additional stair. So that then gives us, in today's genre, at least 3 seasons where he takes an additional step towards a stairway to heaven. So he's sent back to Earth. He's maybe given an angel as a sidekick. Kind of think about the old Highway to Heaven show. As he does a good deed, he earns an additional stairway to heaven. And maybe we give him some type of physical representation, like maybe a tattoo or something that shows on his arm that keeps track of that. And you could number the episodes. Step 1, step 2, so on and so forth. So that's my quick pitch on Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, just to add to that, when he has to do something bad, because sometimes you can't do the right thing.
He just fails.
Lose a step or something else happens. So there's a good balance there. I like it. Okay. Are you ready for number 2?
Yes, sir.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump.
Okay. So here we go. So we're going to steal this one from back in the day. So you got a plucky group of urban youth. That means black people. Okay. And their rec center is going to be demolished by the evil, coded language for white, industrialist. He's going to tear down their dance.
To make an M&M factory. Okay.
Okay. So okay. All right. So anyway, Jesus, a pixie stick will really make it like no value. Okay. So in order to save their dance studio, they have to compete in this citywide tournament of some of the best dancers in the world. And so there's all the ones. There's the Dougie. There's the Running Man. If you like football, they even got the Gritty. But the ultimate one that they have to defeat all these other dance crews is to do the vaunted Humpty Dance. And remember, the Humpty Dance is your chance to save your studio.
Save your hump. Now, will the sequel to that be Hip Hop Hooray?
That was well played. I felt like that hurt you a little bit, but that would work well. That worked so well.
And the only reason I thought of that is because my next one is You Gotta Be Down with OPP.
So here we go. So we're gonna place this one in the 90s, okay?
Well, of course.
Yeah, because we got to make the references work. So, for any of our younger fans out there, before you had cell phones, or you had a thing called a beeper, okay? So, Bradley, you ever seen, like, Saturday Night Fever or Staying Alive? Before John Travolta went, you know, LRH, you know, he also was an actor that made his own decisions.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, you're going to have, and I think this would be a great one for, like, someone like Michael Ealy, okay? Mm. So, you got him in the 90s. You know, he really wants to, like, go to architectural school or something. But he's a good-looking guy. So the way he starts to make money, maybe they're going to foreclose on his house, is that he's got to make money. And, you know, and as a good version of something like Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo, he begins to date women. So it's in the 90s. So the way that he actually, the code to his beeper when he is actually being needed for services is OPP. Because he specifically deals with married women. And those that don't know what OPP means, listen to the song, and they actually, this kills him when the song was popular. What does it mean? Literally, in the song, by the way, it has 2 meanings. Literally, in the song, they tell you what it means. And back in the day, now you have, like, the internet.
Yep.
Before the internet, songs had liner notes. So you could read the lyrics if you can actually add, if you can like do math, if you knew words, if you just know how human beings do things, you can figure out what the second P in OPP means. With that being said, it will be a Michael Ealy starring vehicle where, again, maybe like Angela Bassett plays his mom. Or better yet, Viola Davis, because she's hot off the Woman King, he's trying to save her home, and Viola Davis will come with a reason to cry, because that's what she does. He saves it, but again, then the tagline would be OPP, three letters to save your soul. And there you go, OPP.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. So every song I listened to today on the way to take Anna back to her mom. So that's pretty much where I got this. Next. It was a really popular Garth Brooks song, The Thunder Rolls.
All right.
This Which is obviously that... the title of the new Thor movie as well.
Wasn't that what was happening? Thor was really overweight. He had the thunder roll. Okay.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ooh. All right. Okay. So here's the Thunder Rolls. And you know what? You get the writer from Yellowstone. By the way, did you see? I meant to send this to you just real quick. Did you see the Stallone? Taylor, and I cannot remember Taylor's last name, that wrote Yellowstone, Kings of Youngstown, all like that. Hey, Leia.
She's got a Thor shirt on. Nice. Not planned. Well, nice. Well played, girl. Well played.
Nice, 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 nice.
We're just talking about Thor a little bit, but all right. Tell Brian bye.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Daddy. Are you gonna make me a sandwich tomorrow?
Wow.
Halloween.
She's my daughter. All right, kiddo. We're gonna get going. All right, love you. All right, okay. Buddy, keep going.
So the reason that
goodbye.
Okay, so I wonder. So just on a real quick side, because this plays into this one when you talk about the Thunder Rolls. Have you seen the ad for Tulsa? Tulsa is a new show. I just saw the ad earlier today.
Yeah, with Steven. Stallone. Yeah, yeah,
no, yeah. So Stallone and Taylor Sheridan, I was like, this is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So with that, so Taylor Sheridan is going to pin a new one called Thunder Rolls. And it basically is, let's say, the next ranch over from the Sheridans. You know, it's falling on hard times. And maybe it begins with this major storm that really damages their property and them trying to rebuild it. And to talk about in lieu of the Thunder Rolls. So you could totally have a very serious tone. You could maybe have, you know, some really great Chris Stapleton would have to be in the cast. Just have him be like the dude at the local bar that's playing every week. Just get some Chris Stapleton music built into it. You would obviously give it a 5 out of 5. Just have another craft script Stapleton in it. But yeah, that would be Thunder Rolls.
Love it. All right. We're going to keep a little bit on that. I mean, okay. A little bit different. This is more classic rock. One of the greatest classic rock songs that has ever been made. R.I.P. Tom Petty, Free Fallin'. And it can't be a sequel to Pump, and it cannot be a sequel to Point Break.
Oh, nice one. Nice one. Nice one.
Although it should be.
Yep. Free Fall. I don't know if I'm in this big thing about doing movies in the past or shows in the past. So Free Fall would basically be, we play with something like hackers, things like that. You got these computer nerds in the early 2000s, and what they want to do is they want to break the stock market, right? They're tired of capitalism, and they want to make money. And so what they're going to do is, using their computer skills, they're going to basically take over the stock market. They're gonna basically induce a crash. They're gonna benefit from it. And of course, they're being hunted by all the horrible people, because you know all the financials always have like hit squads on standby, right? Because that's the thing. It might be a thing. By the way, for those of you who take offense to the pitch of Free Falling, this was Bradley Buten's idea. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So with that being said, it would basically be like a little action show where they're running around. And of course, you're going to have really good looking college students who nowhere in this life they would know how to even turn on a computer. This would be set up totally on the CW, and it's free falling. And again, the free falling is in reference to the stock market crash and all the things that they do there. So that would be free falling.
I like it. I like it. And we are halfway done.
Halfway. This is intense. I like this.
Right, Brian. Sir. Now, don't you forget about me.
Okay. So, really quick, we're going to make this really sad. We've got an older couple, and it's going to be shot from the perspective of someone with Alzheimer's, and this will be an HBO show. So, we're going to have gritty language. We're going to have some nudity. We're going to have some vibe. We're going to have some pain. But think about This Is Us, but again, on HBO. And what you're going to have is you're going to have a character sitting in their bed who is nonverbal. And they get visited by different people in their lives. And every time the person sits down with them and they hold their hand and begin to tell them stories from their lives. So the person now, the episode is us watching the flashback told from the perspective of the visitor. So the person has forgotten their life. They have a visitor. The visitor tells them what their life is like. And that makes up the episode. So that would be Don't Forget About Me.
I love that. But that is amazing, by the way. And you had no idea the songs that I picked.
Are all fresh to me. Absolutely.
All right. So after Don't You Forget About Me, mm-hmm. there's a great song. It's kind of long, but it's called, I don't know, The Noose by A Perfect Circle.
I am a big music fan. I've not heard of The Noose. All right, so here's what we do. Again, you're making me steal things, but we're going to go way back in the day. Okay. So one of my favorite shows that unfortunately didn't get enough legs was The Bastard. Why am I forgetting it now? The Bastard Execution. Thank you. And even a little bit of Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. So with The Noose, we're going to look at the world. Again, medieval, renaissance, from the aspect of The Noose. So the execution, the hangman. So what you're going to have is this person, and what we're going to give this person a really conflicted backstory. But this is a person who all they wanted to do was to join the priesthood. However, due to the things that happened in their lives, we can show this through flashbacks, they commit a crime. In fact, you know what we'll do? We're going to make the person gay. And the person is not accepted by the Catholic Church. And because they're gay, they are shunned by society. So the only thing that a person can do to make money to support their family is to put on, and this is their offer, is to wear the hood and to be the hangman. And so you see this person who is devout, who is religious, who is very sensitive, who's soft-spoken, who's an overall good person, is forced to live the life that every episode he has to hang someone. And then you see him slowly dying with the noose. So the tagline would be The Noose. The person you hang may be yourself.
Love it. Love it. All right. Now, we have to hit a little Nirvana. We're going to go from The Noose.
Careful. Careful, because, you know, with Nirvana, the little boy may sue you because, you know, whatever. So, right. All right. Yeah.
Smells like teen spirit.
High school drama.
High school drama, CW.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Smells like Teen Spirit. Where basically, again, you made this a straight up comedy where, again, this is something to be set in today, is that you've got this real. I'm seeing if we could make Patrick Dempsey 16 again. But you've got so someone that will probably fit that role. He comes in. He's a
Dylan
science.
O'Brien.
Who is it?
Dylan O'Brien.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. So he's this dorky kid, can't get a date, and he's a Kim savant. And one day, what he winds up doing is he creates this pheromone project that makes people like him, but it only works for 12 hours. So what he winds up doing is, and he makes a couple of different smells throughout the series. But he does these things to get, so maybe they play with people's emotion, not as simple as love or attraction, but that becomes it, the smell like teen spirit. So he begins to use them to navigate high school, to make people like him, think he's funny, and he plays with that. And again, to add a little bit of things, of course, you got the evil pharma, because the principal, whose brother runs like the big pharmacy corporation, finds out his kid's got this magical pheromone product and wants to find out it. And, you know,
he is the pheromone? What if he naturally
creates the pheromone? Creates the pheromone
for whatever, whatever emotion that he is. Whether he's in, so if he's in love, people are going to love him. That's really cool, man. I like it.
Yeah, got it. All right, what you got for me next?
All right, two more.
Yes, sir.
Blurry from Puddle of Mud. Everything's so blurry.
Blurry. Okay, this one we're gonna go straight up comic book superhero thing. So we're gonna have someone that has super speed. Okay, and again, add a little texture to it. We got to have a person who is in a wheelchair. They get a black ops experiment that they can have super speed, but they have to continue living as if they are in a wheelchair. So they have to always run and vibrate so fast no one can see them. However, there's a toll for using the powers. We can work that out, and maybe it's aging them. If you take it from A-Train from The Boys, it's got a lot of attacks on their heart, but they have to be very careful with you. In fact, you know what it is? They can't walk. They can only run. That would be it.
Very good, yeah.
So they literally cannot walk, but they can run. And again, we can also have this thing. So that becomes who they are. So they decide to use their powers to help people, so they have to run. In fact, there actually is a DC character, maybe a Marvel character, that actually is also called Blur. This would be something completely separate. And again, you call the series Blurry. Absolutely.
Nice. All right, last one. Numb from Linkin Park.
Because this is a geeky show, we're going to do this. So one of my favorite characters has been Penance in the MCU, and Penance is someone that his powers come from physical pain, right? Mm-hmm. So we have an individual that has the opposite problem. He has, and I think this is a play on Ajax from Deadpool. So we mentioned Deadpool a few times in this episode. By the way, now that Deadpool is in the MCU, do you think he will run into one Nick Fury, who is played by Samuel L. Jackson, where the L stands for...
Yeah.
So maybe this is an original character in the MCU, not Ajax, where again he has super strength, he has invulnerable skin, but the invulnerable skin causes no sensation. And by the way, this is gonna bring a little science into this. Bradley, you know what helps us manage our emotions is actually physical stimuli with the world. So that's why things like sensory deprivation tanks cause an altered experience, because there's no stimulus that we receive from the outside world. So while his powers make him invulnerable, they also are slowly making him insane. So he's got to find this cure for his numbness. So not only does it make him numb physically, it's starting to make him numb emotionally. We don't start with him being numb emotional. We need some story arc there. But he's got to find it for everything becomes numb.
And the main character will be, of course, named Chester. R.I.P. Very good, my friend. Very good. I kind of put that one on you. We're kind of doing that. Great ideas, man.
Thank you.
Man, the Don't You Forget About Me, fantastic. Smells Like Teen Spirit. I can definitely see half of these in my brain. All right, now.
So, Marvel, DC, CW, HBO, because we know you're listening. Holla at your boys. All right.
We will write it. We will level up. It's awesome.
Absolutely.
Just like my book that you could get on Amazon for $7.99. Get a hold of me for a little bit more. You can get that baby autographed. All right.
That is what we call the Paul Roma drop of the week, because it is the fourth of Shameless Plugs. And if you don't know Paul Roma, he's a member of the Four Horsemen. All right. Yes.
Let's talk Deadpool. I mean, we've been alluding to it the entire episode. Let's do it. Big news, Hugh Jackman is back as Wolverine.
Absolutely.
In Deadpool 3. Do you think that Hugh Jackman is going to be around after Deadpool 3?
I think if they pay him, he will be. Now, for everything that they said in the, and again, you can find it on YouTube, you can find it on TikTok, for everything, for how they approach it, it is basically, for those of you who have not seen it, please, seriously, go check out the video. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic. So there's Ryan Reynolds as Ryan Reynolds, and this is totally meta, it's totally fourth wall break. He's sitting in his living room talking a little bit about what might be upcoming with Deadpool 3, especially because Deadpool 3 is not going to be in the MCU, which is very exciting. I really hope they keep it an R rating. By the way, Wolverine in an R-rated movie, Logan, worked really well. So, and if you ever read of the Wolverine stand, the Wolverine comics, not when he's an X-Men, but Wolverine, if these were taken, yeah, it's R-rated. Minimally yeah. PG-13, probably R-rated. So all of a sudden, we see Hugh Jackman walk behind to go upstairs in Ryan Reynolds' house, because I guess that's what bros do.
Actually, that was not his house.
Where was it?
That was the house in Logan where the younger Hugh Jackman attacks him.
I did not catch. That's why you win. That ladies and you cannot buy that level of knowledge. That's why you are the czar of the Revenge universe. So now that we've got that out, that was a nice catch, man. We see Hugh Jackman again. This is not Deadpool and Wolverine. This is Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. He walks behind them. Ryan goes, hey, you want to play Wolverine? This is why you back to your actual question. He specifically says one more time, to which Hugh goes, basically, yeah. And we get that. So
yeah, Ryan.
Yeah. So and that's the way you would do it. Now, if the movie is a success with, okay, number one, the Deadpool movies, there's only been two,
yeah,
have been good, right? Mm-hmm. Have been good. And Ryan Reynolds takes a lot of care in his character. Mm-hmm. This has been the role. It's very similar how Tobey Maguire was like, you're going to be Spider-Man. Like fans said, if you got to pick a character to be Spider-Man, and Peter Parker, it's Tobey Maguire. Fans for years, back to probably Van Wilder and Wade, and go, there's only one person that can play Deadpool. It's Ryan Reynolds. And they blew it the first time, right? He takes this very seriously. For all the fun and games he plays, you can tell he takes it very seriously. So I have no doubt that Deadpool 3 will be good. If it's also a hit, which I don't think why it wouldn't be, if fans clamor.
And they will.
Yeah. Again, unless Hugh Jackman just is really over, and he's had a few years since Logan, if he was kind of burned out, is also going back where to when Logan's younger, before it kind of got really swampy with all the different time stuff, I can see him being in more than one. Last thing, if we only get one, it will be a fantastic one, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to be back for a little while. I don't think they're going to make him it as strenuous on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know he'll want to do a good job. But like those two, this has been banter for, gosh, years.
I mean, he played it up when Logan happened. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you've never seen, that's one of the things that before Deadpool 2 came out was him playing with the Logan. But even back to the first one, you know, he wears like the Logan mask and, you know, all these sorts of things. So, you know, you talk about there's a staple. I mean, there's all these things, and the two have to on some level be friendly enough that they played with this, right? This wasn't accidental going back to even Deadpool, right? And what they would have met in, what was it, Wolverine Origins? Is that what it would have been? Mm-hmm. So I mean, so they definitely, you know, have played up this thing. So I think it'd be great if we get a series. Again, we only get one.
Yeah, and here's another thing, especially now that they're going to be in the Marvel Universe. There's another hero that has connections to Deadpool as well that is definitely in need for friends, Spider-Man. And
yes.
Deadpool, so Spider-Man is Deadpool's favorite hero.
Yes.
Deadpool, yes. And I would really like to see a cameo from Spider-Man in Deadpool 3. I think that's I think we will get a Spider-Man Deadpool in some way, form, shape in the future.
Right. I did a quick Google search because back to your point with the strenuousness of the role, Hugh Jackman is as of today. I'm sorry. As of today, he's 53. His birthday is in 10 days, so he'll be 54 in less than 2 weeks. By the way, happy birthday, Hugh. So you know, Where Ryan Reynolds is always in phenomenal shape when he plays Wade. But then the other piece of it is that's one of the ongoing things with Wolverine is just the physical shape. Not that we've ever seen Hugh Jackman not in shape, but yeah. I'm sorry, how ripped he gets for those roles.
Incredible.
I mean, let's be real. He spends a lot of those roles shirtless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for there not to be some type of weird CGI, you know, that takes, and we oftentimes as fans overlook the physical component.
Yeah.
Of a lot of these roles, right? Benedict Cumberbatch is great when he goes, there's a reason why I get to wear like a full suit and a cloak. All right. I don't gotta do right. that, right?
You know, and I am 100% fine with the yellow or the tan outfit for Wolverine. And you know,
there is a fan base who would not be okay with Hugh Jackman not having at least a couple shirtless scenes. You might as well say Liam Hemsworth will be completely clothed in Thor 5. You know, it's not going to happen, all right? Okay, and Marvel's like, shut up! Okay, so, yeah.
Awesome. We're both super stoked for that. Brian, do you have anything else you want to say on Deadpool 3?
I don't have anything left for Deadpool 3 that I'm super excited for. 2024, can I get here fast enough? However, I do have for you a quick tat if we can bring it up.
Bring it.
Okay. So I talked about this earlier. I was thinking like, you know, I know none of my tats are riddles. I thought let's stop the riddles for a little bit because we're getting really good at them. So I thought about what would be another game I could bring into that I really enjoy. Okay. So, so Bradley, you ever heard of the game Kiss, Marry, Kill?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know Kiss, Marry, Kill, people give you three people and you have to pick one to kiss, mm-hmm. one to marry, and one to kill. So we're not going to do that, but here's what we are going to do. Okay. I'm going to give you a character from some franchise in our nerddom, and then I'm going to give you three characters from another universe.
Okay.
And then you have to pick between enemy, ally, or boo.
Enemy, ally, or boo. Got it. Okay.
So who's their enemy? Who's their ally? And who is their boo? Who are they going to put a ring on it? So I figured I'd make this super easy for you and give you the character in which you got to figure out this for is your boy, Richard Grayson, a.k.a. Dick.
And real like Dick.
Yep. And here are the three people from another universe. Okay. So we're jumping. We'll make it again really easy. We're going to jump from DCU to MCU. And here are the people all from the movie Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Ooh, so we're going DC, three, Marvel, okay.
Yep. So your three characters are Shang-Chi, Trevor, a.k.a. The fake Mandarin, And I was really almost did this. I was gonna make it Morris the Hundun, but I thought let's not do that. So I gave it your friend and mine, Wong. So for Nightwing, he's got the choice between Shang-Chi, Trevor, and Wong. One's gotta be an enemy, one's gotta be an ally, and one's gotta be his boo. Who you picking?
For enemy, I'm going Shang-Chi.
Okay.
That
would be some great fights, by the way.
Yeah,
the acrobatics, the fight scenes, that would be wonderful.
That's what that is the 100% reason why. For ally, I'm going. Man, you know what? Just because I think this would be awesome, I'm gonna say ally's gonna be Wong.
All right, so let's remember here. Dick Grayson has dated Stargirl. Dick Grayson has dated Batgirl. Dick Grayson is kind of the pimp of the DCU. Mm-hmm. So his enemy is going to be Shang-Chi. His ally is going to be Wong. And following up against Stargirl and Batgirl, his boo.
Trevor. Dude, Trevor, you know, so like if it was just before All Hail the King, I think I would have been different. But because of his role in Shang-Chi, yes, the boo has to be Trevor. I'm shipping Trevor and Dick Grayson.
I'm just loving how on earth would you play? Because hey, I gave you your choices, and you did better than I would have. I'm just trying to see the love scene between Dick Grayson
and Ben Kingsley.
Yes. And you know who's going to do the voice, right? He's going to go from the Trevor voice to the deep Mandarin voice.
Right?
It was just, you know, like, you know, I mean, I did, all the bat tropes would come out, like, you know, how deep is your cave, young man? Like, it just would be horrible. It'll be horrible. Okay, remember, we need that scroll for next week, okay? Because I'm gonna sue. All right. All right, tag team partner. I appreciate that. So, again, just to double-check our math here. So, Nightwing and enemy, ally, or boo. Enemy is going to be Wong. Excuse me. Is going to be, yeah, enemy is going to be Shang-Chi. Ally is going to be our buddy Wong. I think that makes perfect sense. And, of course, by process of elimination or by true love, they're going to cuff it. They're going to put a ring on it. We're going to see Dick Grayson and your boy, Trevor.
And just because the ally is Wong, there could actually be a scene with Dick Grayson Nightwing with Wong and one Madison with a Y, just not where you think of it. Think it is.
Madison would have to like be the one that would come up like when they're getting ready to get married. Madison, like anyone that objects to this wedding, and Madison would be drunk off her butt. Going, well, it would just be great. It would just be fantastic. And She-Hulk would have to do like the prenup. Because, by the way, do you think Dick Grayson isn't, I'm sure Batman has laid this out, but you think that Dick Grayson, you know, inherits, who gets Batman? Now, I know we need to finish for time, but who inherits, last question, if Bass dies, who gets the money? Forget the cave, forget the equipment, forget the Batman stuff. Who inherits the Wayne fortune? Is it Alfred? Is it Damian? Is it Dick Grayson? Of those three, who do you think gets it?
Yeah, so the comics actually did that when Bruce Wayne leaves for a while. And yeah. It's actually pretty current. And Alfred dies. And
okay.
Alfred leaves all his money. So Bruce Wayne leaves a lot of it to charity, but then spread out through some of the Bat family. However, sure. Dick Grayson is 51% owner of all of Wayne, everything.
As it should be.
As it should be. And, yes. And it even gets better because when Alfred dies in the comics, Alfred leaves everything to Dick Grayson because Alfred
was a trust, father. Right?
Right, yeah. Right. So, but yeah, good question.
All right, sir. Okay, so I think we've maximized our awfulness. What do you think?
I think so too. Where can we see you, Brian?
All right, sir. So obviously you can see me at the recording of The Revenge of the Nerds. But as I said before, feel free to give me a friend request on Facebook, Brian Stephen Dennis. Feel free to like my page, follow me, but definitely shoot me a friend request. And you get to see more and more fun stuff and behind the scenes of the pandemic.
Yes. And you can tweet at me at Fandemic3, message me on Facebook at The Fandemic, now active on TikTok at Fandemic1. I do some reviews and stuff like that there. And Brian, we have our executive producer, previous producer, Stacy. We definitely need to give a shout out to Stacy today. Hi, boss. If you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. One, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic. And you know what? We will definitely cheers you on the episode.
Including my bat flask. Ooh. Or my bat mug, but I call it the bat flask. Absolutely.
I dig it. You can also go to Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTNFandemic. You can become an episode assistant, episode producer, a pre-venge producer like Stacy, or become part of the Council of Nerds starting at $5 a month. Yes, you could be part of the con. Become a monthly supporter like Stacy, and you can go to anchor.fm/PVOTN. Go to PayPal or Venmo at Bradley Butin, or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Now, Brian, since we are at max levels of awesome for the week, how do we end every show?
As always, just remind you that thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. You're awesome. Remember, goonies never die and no retreat, no surrender.
Both missed opportunities for my quick pitches for you. No retreat, no surrender. Probably should have been in there. We're all playing. We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up. You're awesome. Live free, die empty. Have a good day. Oh, and you know what we forgot to do? I forgot to play Leia's song here. Well, we better get that going at the end.
You gotta get it, man. You want happy daughter, happy life, man.
There you go. And we can talk through this one.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good job on the pitches, our bud.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob, you, Tim, and Ryan Dennis. And this is PVOTN. We've got
the pause in my name.
Leveling Ryan, up your Dennis. Awesomeness. Yeah. Dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing. Leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh, yeah.